Like to get started. I just want to remind everybody to please fill out your committee assignment requests and get them to Ms. O'Leary. Be much appreciated. And Dr. Hare, are you ready? Well, maybe we won't get started. As soon as Dr. Hare chimes in, we'll get rolling.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reed. Yes, so we'll get started here, and Mike Simpkins will be giving a presentation on the spring management track assessment. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Simpkins if he is on.
I'm on. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can, Mike. Thank you.
Perfect. So I think I just need the slides to be loaded and I can start rolling. All right, so that's me, that's the title. I recognize that the council meeting is running a little behind, so I'll try to step quickly through this. So in terms of the presentation outline, I'll do a quick reminder of our new management track process that we trialed last year, but really officially started this year. So I'll just run through that quickly to remind people how that's working and where we're at. And then I'll go quickly through the assessment results, hitting on several of them really quickly, and then spending a bit more time on hearing, and then moving on to questions. Next slide, please. So our new assessment process, the NRCC's new assessment process, I guess officially started this year. We did some trialing of it last year. It's got a research track and a management track. What I'm talking about here is the spring management track assessments. We're at the farthest right little icon here in terms of having the assessment actually informing management. But the overall process starts, it's sort of continually underway. You know, over on the left, we've got data being updated and input from stakeholders with questions and ideas and new data streams and things. That's sort of input we're looking for at all times. But really it's moving into the assessment, we're really looking for it, you know, 9 months to a year in advance of the assessment. So then the next step there is the assessment planning. So the stock assessment folks that are involved will take all that input, look at the model that they have in hand, and come up with a plan for what aspects of the model they want to change or explore to incorporate new data or address any questions, or if they're, you know, mainly just going to be turning the crank, which I know I'll get in trouble for saying. So they develop that plan. Then we have a meeting of an assessment oversight panel that reviews that plan to make sure that it makes sense and to recommend what level of peer review happens. And that's really just to help us design that fifth thing there in terms of the peer review to figure out how much time we need to allot. So the assessment oversight panel looks at three different levels of peer review, basically a level one being the assessment's basically just taking new data and updating with no major changes. So that just gets sent straight to the SSC. There's no real new science there. It's just new data. A level two peer review or assessment is where, you know, some significant changes have been made or explored, and it's worth spending a couple hours to talk through with a panel of experts to investigate the science underpinning that. And a level three can be a half day or a day worth of peer review to really talk about, you know, really significant changes to the model or you know, major new data streams coming in, something that takes more time. So that assessment oversight panel reviews the plan for validity and recommends a level of peer review, and that helps us figure out how to lay out the schedule for the peer review. Then the assessment scientist conducts the assessment. That can take a couple months following their plan. Then we have the peer review, and then the output of the peer review comes into management. Next slide. So for the spring assessments, we, you know, our first time through, we already had a complication. So we had the assessment oversight panel meeting was on the 25th of February. And so there were six stocks with plans presented. One of those was mackerel, a plan for mackerel, and the AOP, the analyst recommended, the center recommended, and the AOP agreed to postpone the macro assessment due to data, missing data, and trying to line it up better with the Canadian macro assessment. So that was pushed off. So then we were down to 5 assessment plans. And then as the herring assessment was underway, the analyst ran into challenges that had not been expected at the time of the assessment oversight panel, that he felt were significant enough that it would need some peer review. It was basically just going to be new data come in and run the model. So it was going to be just a direct delivery to the SSC. But the challenges, which I'll talk about later, were sufficient that we thought it needed some review. So we reconvened the assessment oversight panel, shared that with them, they agreed. And so that level of peer review was increased from level 1, which would have just been sent directly to the SSC, to level 2, so that it would be presented to a peer review panel. So then in June, we had that peer review. Panel members are listed there. Conducted that peer review for the stocks. The final report from the peer reviewers is online. The final assessment report is available upon request. We're still formatting it for accessibility to the visually challenged to meet our sort of legal requirements there. So it's done. We're just doing some formatting things. So if anyone needs it and doesn't have access, just let us know. Next slide. So now I'll run through the stocks. So Ocean Cohog was a level 1 assessment, so went straight to the SSC. The other 4, Surf Clam, Longfin Squid, Butterfish, and Herring, all were reviewed at the panel, and macro was postponed. So next slide, please. Ocean Cohog, next slide, please. So for these first 4, I'll just do 1 slide each to talk about stock status, because I'm guessing Herring is where your interest is. So for Ocean Cohog, the peer review found that the stock was not overfished. That top plot there, the blue line, is the biomass threshold, essentially, and the line with the gray around it is the biomass estimated. And so the biomass is above that threshold, so it's not overfished. And then for the plot below, the F threshold is actually off the graph. That's why I have an arrow there. So the estimated F was below the threshold, so there's no overfishing. And then for both Ocean Cohog and Surf Clam, we redesigned the clam survey. So that was one of the pieces that got a little more review during the peer review, was understanding how that change in survey design affected the model and things. Next slide. Surf Clam, next slide. So Surf Clam, similar plots. The biomass estimated was above the threshold, so it's not overfished. F was below the threshold, so it's no overfishing. Again, it looked into survey design. And for the Surf Clam, that was a level 3 assessment, because there was quite a few things the analysts did to make the model a bit more flexible to address some challenges they had in the past. So that was a big focus of that peer review. Next slide, you can just hit it twice. We'll go straight to here, yep. So for Longfin Squid, this plot to the right, it's a little messy, but the blue line there is the biomass threshold. And you can see that both the black dots and line, which is the annual sort of average of the fall and survey biomass versus the pink line, which is a 2-year moving average, all those are above the threshold, so it's not overfished. Overfishing isn't known from the assessment because we don't have a quantitative comparison to make there. And one of the key things that was looked at for this stock was exploring the potential for separate reference points for the seasonal cohorts. And that little plot down there at the bottom shows the blue there, the higher line is the fall cohort, which is quite a bit larger than the spring cohort. So it just explored that, action wasn't taken this time, but the peer review kind of focused on that a bit. So next, Butterfish. So some other plots here on the right, recruitment's been declining, biomass has been declining, F's been going up, but it's still well below the threshold. So the little graph at the bottom there, you've probably seen these kind of graphs before, it just shows what the outcome there is with the dot and its variance around it, showing that it's above the biomass threshold. which is the up and down line, and it's below the F threshold, so it's not overfished and overfishing not occurring for butterfish. Next, we get into herring. So I'll spend a little more time here, but still keep moving, because I think a lot of you that are really interested in herring have heard this story. So the first part of the story is it's been low recruitment. That line, I think, is the average across the time series. So recruitment's been low for past 7 years at least. Next. This is biomass, showing that it's also been declining in recent years. Next. Catch has also been declining in recent years. Next. So the stock status, if folks were interested in herring, recall that the last assessment had it not overfishing, but approaching overfished. It was really close to this biomass threshold. Now it's below that biomass threshold, so it's to the left of that line. So it's overfished now. F is still well below the overfishing threshold, so it's not overfishing. Next. So that's kind of the take home. And then just to get a little bit into the challenge that came up, or one of the challenges that came up that was tricky, is that the two fleets, basically, there's the mobile fleet, which is mostly what the U.S. is engaged in, and then there's the fixed fleet, which is, like Weir Fisheries, which is primarily the Canadian Weir Fishery. And what you can see here is the selectivity of those fleets is quite different. The Weir Fishery really selects for two-year-olds, whereas the mobile fishery selects for fish to much, much greater ages. Next slide. So there's just a reflection back. So catch has gone down. And while it's gone down, if you go to the next slide, what we've found is that while the mobile, so catch has gone down across the board, but with the mobile fleet declining, the ratio between the mobile fleet and the fixed fleet has changed. So the numbers, you can see that, if you can see it in the purple and black, the purple is the fixed gear, the Weir Fishery proportion of the catch. And so then the numbers are here on the right. So you can see when the last assessment was done in 2018, the percent of catch that was in the fixed fleet was low, 1 to 7%. But then in 2018, 2019, it shot up to 21 to 29%. Of the catch was coming out of the fixed fleet. So when you go to the next slide, the challenge was, if you remember back to the fixed fleet selectivity was really selecting for those two-year-olds. So the dark line here is the selectivity used in the 2018 assessment, which combined both the mobile fleet and fixed fleet together. But when the assessment lead look to do the combined selectivity in 2020, that selectivity for two-year-olds in the fixed fleet really altered the selectivity that was going to go into the model, which has all sorts of implications. So the peer review focused a lot on that and on different options and what to do. And that's why we had it peer reviewed rather than just going straight to the SSC. So the plot down to the lower right, again, shows what was used in 2018 versus what was used for 2020 was just the mobile fleet selectivity, which you can see is very similar to what was used in 2018 and kind of just differs there at age two, as you might expect, because in 2018 it was including the fixed gear fleet in with the mobile fleet. So that was the challenge, or sort of a big challenge in what was focused on the peer review. And if you go to the next slide, the outcome was the peer review agreed, and the assessment ended up using the mobile selectivity because we're focusing on the US fleet, which is what we're managing. And then for the status determinations, both for overfishing and overfished, we compared the model outputs using that mobile fleet's selectivity to reference points based on the mobile fleet. But then the projections explicitly included both fleets, both the model projected for the mobile fleet and an estimate for the Canadian Weir Fishery for the rest. So hopefully that made sense, and I'm hoping most of you heard that before so that it made sense because you'd heard it better from John Darova. And I believe that's the end of my slides. Just go to the next one. I think it's just a thank you. Yep. So that was quick. I hope it was useful. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. And we have smarter people than I standing by if you have technical questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Simpkins. I'll open it up to questions from the council first.
We have a question for Mr. Reed and Mr. Alexander.
Mr. Reed.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Chairman. Welcome back. So, Dr. Simpkins, my question is about primarily Lalago and Butterfish. You're only using the Bigelow survey for those stocks. What is the possibility of using NEMAP for those surveys as well? And they fish in a different ground than the Bigelow does, and my thought is that they catch a lot more young of the year fish than the Bigelow does because of where they go, and that certainly would help with their recruitment numbers, especially for butterfish. So how do you feel about that?
So I'll have to phone a friend on that one. I don't know, John, if you have any perspective, or if either Chuck or Lisa are on to field that.
This is John here. I can't answer your question right now, Eric. And if you know, Chuck and Lisa are on, they'll be able to. But if not, we can certainly get back to you with an answer. Sounds like we'll get back to you, Eric, with an answer on whether you know NEMAP is included in the Lalago and Butterfish assessments, and if not, is it possible to? So thank you.
So, Dr. Hare, who is Chuck?
Is that Chuck Adams is the lead assessment scientist for Butterfish.
Okay, he is not on the attendee list.
Okay, thank you.
All set, Mr. Reed?
I guess so, thank you.
Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, just a quick one, Mike. So when you talk about the fixed year fishery, and I just want to make sure you weren't counting the same fleet in 1A as part of the fixed year, right? I mean, those are mobile gear too. And just curious if you do count them in with the mobile gear. I mean, most of the fish that they catch are huge. They do once in a while get into small fish, but for the most part, that graph that you showed showing all the different year classes seemed kind of huge to me. So just curious of making sure that the fixed gear was only the weir fishery.
So I will phone a friend on that one to get you the right answer. And I see John Darova is on. So if he can be unmuted, he could feel bad, I imagine.
Hi, it's John Darova. I'm hoping you can hear me. Mike, can you confirm that you can hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
The Persane fishery is lumped in with mobile gears for the very reason that you just said. They catch very similar size and age ranges as truly mobile gears. So the fixed gears are just the sort of shore-based wear and stop fisheries, a smattering in Maine and the majority in Canada.
Okay, any other questions from the council? Seeing none, we'll go to the audience. Seeing none. Okay. All right, I think if there's no additional questions, I appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.